go forth and present your bodies as living sacrifices. So the chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14 are showing us how we now present our bodies, all that we are, as living sacrifices unto God. And that's where we are still, as chapter 13 and 14 deal specifically with something we all like to talk about, right? Our behavior. Our specific behavior towards one another, especially in the church. Behavior towards one another. And that's where we're picking up the text today in the middle of chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. This is God's word. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. All men are like grass, and all their glories are like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Father, again this evening we come to your word asking for these to be your words and not mine. That you would give us hearts to receive, minds to understand, ears to hear, and that you would receive all of the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not too long after Natalie and I moved to Erie, we did something drastic because we had both went to private Christian colleges and I had just gotten out of seminary. We did this whole Dave Ramsey debt snowball thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you are nodding your heads due to college loans and various bills after we all got out of college. This is the thing that we did, and it's a very drastic step given the culture that we live in that always wants to be gratified right now. This is telling us to not do that, in fact, to start pay off your debts. So we started to do those things. I think at that time I had a truck, and I started with the truck loan, and then we paid off the truck, and we rolled that into the car, and so far and so forth. And our goal is to only have one debt, and that would be our mortgage. That's a good goal, I think, for all of us to have. Just have your mortgage to pay off. If you know about Dave Ramsey, we started to pay for things in cash. I mean, the whole thing. It's very drastic, and it was rough, right? When we first started it, it was rough. Every cent we had was going towards these particular loans that we have, and by the grace of God, after 5 years, we're pretty close. We're pretty close. Thanks be to God for helping us pay off our debts. Paul here is talking about a debt for us tonight. He's talking about a particular debt, not necessarily a financial debt. As we look at this text this evening, we'll use the points of love debt, loving your neighbor, and fulfilling the law. Love debt, loving your neighbor, and fulfilling the law. There are some verses that are used and abused, I think, in church circles. This one in particular, the very start of it, could be abused if we just pull it out of context and we just read this. Owe no one anything. Right? If we were just to read that, we pull it out of context, we don't know anything about before this or after this in the Bible, and we just pulled those words out, well then I can tell you I have a problem. Because I owe Wells Fargo a considerable amount of money, right? I would imagine most of you owe some bank a considerable amount of money. But if it says owe no one anything, well how do we move forward? Is this a blanket statement for Christians to have no debt? Well, the answer, I believe, is no, and I'll tell you why. Most translations, like the New King James and the ESV and the KJV, have this particular thing. Owe no one anything. The NIV says this, though, a little bit different. It says, let no debt remain outstanding. Let no debt remain outstanding. There's a little bit of a change there from seemingly no debts at all to no debts remaining outstanding. And with help from the context, what's going on before and after, and the whole scope of the Scriptures, I believe that gets closer to what is being said here, given the previous verse, talking about give honor and customs to its due to pay off those debts. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, what Paul is saying is this. Discharge all your debts to the utmost of your capacity and power. Discharge all your debts to the utmost capacity and power. Charles Hodge says, the idea which the cursory reader might be disposed to attach to these words, in considering them as a direction not to contract debts, is not properly expressed in them. He does say, if you don't have the money, don't take out the loan. Right? If you have no way to pay for it, then by all means don't take out the loan. He goes on to further say this, the command, however, is to acquit yourself of all obligation, tribute, custom, fear, honor, or whatever you may owe. That ties it right back into the previous verses. So no, this is not a blanket prohibition against all debt. But yes, you are still in debt. You still owe. In fact, all Christians owe. All Christians owe. Look at verse 8 with me. The start of verse 8 says, owe no one anything except. Owe no one anything except to love one another. So you have a debt, don't you? Your debt is that of love. You owe love. You owe the love to one another. The Christian has an outstanding debt. It is this debt of loving one another. Let me ask you this. Can you ever pay this debt off? I mean, can you ever get to the point and say, you know what? I've done enough loving. I've got to the bottom of that one. I've done enough loving. I've paid that debt off. We're good. The answer is certainly no. You can't ever get to the bottom of loving someone. You can't ever pay the love debt off. The debt of love for those around us is still outstanding. Paul clearly says, owe no one anything except love. Except love. The love he is talking about clearly again ties us back into chapter 12. And the word that Paul uses, we've all heard probably before, is agape. It's the same love here. So it's covenantal, selfless, unending, Christ-like love. This is the love that you owe. And I owe. And all believers owe to one another. This type of love. Paul kind of talks about this love in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. He says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. There is his description of the love debt. Let your love be without hypocrisy. And now we owe that debt. I was reminded not too long ago, it's funny how when I'm working through sermons, I just, these things come to my mind, right? When I was plumbing, I worked with a lot of different guys, and I didn't get along with all of them. I know that may shock some of you, but that's just the truth. Some of them, we just didn't get along. It happens. And there was one I remembered, and he claimed to be a believer, and he went to a church down the road that I knew of, but when we were together, he was all really nice, right? And then for some reason, when we were apart, people were saying, he's always just talking about you behind your back. Perhaps some of the stuff was true. I don't have rose-colored glasses about my behavior, and I'll be the first to tell you that. But I really don't like being slandered behind my back. How about you? Right? So I don't owe him love, do I? That kind of crosses that one out, right? I don't think that's what Paul says, does he? He says, owe no one anything except to love one another. How about you? Do you have people in your life like that? Neighbors, friends, co-workers, family members, who have wronged you in such a way where you think, well, the love debt is done. I don't have to continue loving them. Remembering also that love works out in many different ways, right? It does work out in many different ways, but the command is still there. You have a love debt, I have a love debt, but nevertheless, Paul doesn't lower the bar here for us, does he? Doesn't lower the bar. Look at verse 8 again with me. Paul says in verse 8, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." It seems to me that we owe Christ-like love to everyone in some way, shape, or form, knowing that Christ's love, right? Christ's love, did Christ's love manifest in different ways? Certainly. Certainly his love manifested in numerous ways. He was tenderly and compassionate towards some, but he also rebuked others, right? And he cast people out of the temple. And he loved his people enough to die for them on the cross. In fact, Jesus says this in John 15, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." He loved with the greatest of all love. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And why are we to do this? Well, verse 8 tells us because love fulfills the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. You and I owe a love debt, and this love debt works towards fulfilling the law. We are all debtors. We are indebted to love one another, which can never fully be paid. Which takes us to point 2, which is this outworking of love. What does this look like? What does your love look like? Point 2 is loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor. I was sitting in my office looking at one of my bookshelves, and I noticed a book that I had not cracked in a great, great long time. It was the International Plumbing Codebook. I'm guessing most of you don't have this on your shelf. I have the Plumbing Codebook, and then I have the Michigan Plumbing Codebook. So not only is there international laws, but every municipality and every state have their own little quirks, so to speak. So it's a lot of laws, a lot of codes revolving around these books. And at the time, I was studying to pass the journeyman's license test to be a licensed plumber in the state of Michigan. And if you wanted to pass the test, you had to know the codes in the book. Not just the international book, but you also had to know the Michigan book. All of those to pass the test. It was kind of like the plumbing commandment book, right? These are the plumbing commandments. And if you want to love your neighbor as yourself, guess what? We have commandments too, don't we? We have commandments too. Look at verse 9. Look at how verse 9 starts. For the commandments. For the commandments. Obviously, this is talking about the 10 commandments, the big 10. And the big 10 are really broken up into two parts, aren't they? Love God. Love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. And Paul is focusing primarily here on the love your neighbor part as we see this list that is laid out before us. So no other gods, no idols, no taking his name in vain. Observe and honor the Lord's day. The first four, the rest of them are love your neighbor. The thou shalt nots for the most part. If you want to know how to love your neighbor, Paul lays out for us kind of the love codes, if you will. This is how we go forth and we love our neighbors. And what are the codes? Well, let's look at them. Look back at verse 9 with me. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there are any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying. Paul starts out with first saying, the first love code, the first commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. For a married man or woman to have sex outside of the bond of marriage is in fact to commit adultery. And it is not love. It is not love. Committing adultery is in fact the opposite of love. You are not loving your spouse and you are not loving the person that you are committing sin with. That's not love. Paul says love doesn't behave like that, doesn't he? Love, true love, Christ-like love, does not behave in that manner. Second, Paul says, you shall not murder. Certainly, the taking of someone's life unjustly is murder. But it's more than that, right? What does Jesus say? If you have anger in your heart, you've already committed murder. Love doesn't murder. Love doesn't behave like that. Third love line, you shall not steal. This means I don't steal my neighbor's wallet, I don't steal my neighbor's car, but it's way more than that. It's way more than that. It means you don't steal time for the boss at work, right? How much time do you get for lunch? When I was plumbing, it was half an hour. It wasn't 45 minutes. Or an hour on Friday. Right? That's how that works. We don't charge exorbitant rates for the goods we sell. We don't make goods that are knowingly inferior. Recently, I was talking to a guy who had a new house built down south. It was one of those places where they build like 100 in one little place really fast. And at just about a year, his air conditioning stopped working, and he had someone come out to take a look at it, not the guy, because, of course, the warranty was up, right? Right after a year, your air conditioning goes out, the warranty's up. So he calls a different company. The guy comes out to look at his air conditioning, and he says, it's all up to code, but it's just terrible work. And that's why it failed. And guess what? Everybody else has failed too. After about a year. What is that? Not doing a good job. That's stealing. Right? That's stealing. Love doesn't behave like that. Love doesn't act like that. Fourth, you shall not bear false witness. We love people by not bearing false witness, by not lying about them, by not telling half-truths about them. Love doesn't behave like that. Fifth, you shall not covet. What does it mean to covet? Probably heard those words before, but do you actually know what it means? Most of us don't go around using the word covet that much anymore. Webster says it's to want ardently what another person has. Have you done that? Just up the road from my house, a guy has a really nice fishing boat, right? I think I've coveted that fishing boat. That's how that works. Love doesn't behave like that. Look again at me now at verse 9. Verse 9 says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, notice Paul kind of sums it all up in there basically. If there's any other commandment in this book, love doesn't behave like that. If there's any other commandment, love does not behave that way. And love is summed up in that way. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. The very end of verse 9 says, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Does that sound familiar? That phrase? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Someone pretty important said that a few years before Paul put that forward. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, having an interaction with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes to him and asks him, Jesus, what must I do that I may inherit life? And Jesus, being the great discerner of people, dives deep into this man's life. Listen to this exchange. Now, behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's like the same thing. Paul is calling us to love as Jesus calls us to love. And Jesus is pulling that from somewhere prior to him, all the way back in Leviticus. This thread runs through the entirety of the Scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. So are you? I mean, that's the question now, isn't it? How do you do with this? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? We were just sitting in the pastor's office and there was a yardstick there. And when it comes to loving my neighbor as myself, if that was the yardstick, I can tell you I fall miserably short. I do not measure up.
How about you?
How about you? And again, I am so thankful that I am under the blood of Jesus Christ and I am saved by grace alone and that He has atoned for my inability to love my neighbor. But Paul still says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How are you doing with this? How about this? Are you trying? Right? Because I would say trajectory matters. When it comes to loving your neighbor as yourself, which way are you headed? Trajectory is important. Are you making progress in loving your neighbor as yourself? You know, as born-again believers, you actually can love your neighbor because of Jesus. You can. Not perfectly, but it's acceptable unto God because of Jesus. You can love your neighbor. The command is today and every day just what Jesus and Paul has said. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's fulfilling the law. We are all debtors. Paul has told us we are all debtors of love. We are called to fulfill the law by loving our neighbors. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. He's very detailed about that there, isn't he? He lists the part of the Ten Commandments. Love codes, love lines, if you will. And finally, we get to point three, which is fulfilling the law. A while ago, I preached a sermon from Romans chapter 12 that was titled, The Behavior of Love. The Behavior of Love, in which I argued that love is not like some trinket you hang on the wall or put on a shelf or talk about it as an abstract all the time. Love is actually more of a behavior. It's a way of life. It's how you act. It's what you do each and every day, every hour of your life. Love is a behavior. It's a way of living. And I said that because of all that Paul had been saying in chapter 12, and now chapter 13 has to do with behavior. Paul's focusing on your behavior, the way you act. As a result of the mercies of God, Paul says in the beginning of chapter 12, and now been giving a transformed mind, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Yes, behave in such a way that reflects the great redemption that has been given to you. It's a behavior. Love is a behavior. And now, once again, Paul is focused on that behavior. Look at the start of verse 10 with me. Love does no harm to a neighbor. The truth is, to love as the Bible calls us to love is to do no harm to your neighbor. It is the opposite of doing harm to your neighbor, right? It's the exact opposite. The love that the Bible calls us to do is the opposite of harming your neighbor. The Westminster Shorter Catechism does a great job, I think, in explaining to us the totality of the Ten Commandments. So many people's mind kind of explodes when I say it's not just thou shalt not, right? It's also thou shalt do, and their minds are, what do you mean? No one's ever explained it to me that way before, but I think they get it right. It's not just thou shalt not, it is also thou shalt do. Thou shalt do the opposite of the thou shalt not. And that's what the Westminster Shorter Catechism does. Five times we heard, thou shalt not. Let me just give you an example, just one from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This is Westminster Shorter Catechism 70. Which is the seventh commandment? The answer is, the seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, we've just heard that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It goes on in number 72 to say, what is forbidden in the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words and actions. Okay, we kind of get that. We saw the thou shalt not, but we skipped over 71. 71 says this, what is required in the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment requireth the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior. Thou shalt do. Thou shalt do. And that's just one of the commandments. That's just one of them. Thou shalt do. That's part of doing no harm to your neighbor. And that ties us right back into what Paul is saying. Love does no harm to your neighbor. Love does no harm. And it looks like what Paul says In that famous chapter on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, listen to what Paul says about love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So love is definitely thou shalt not, but it's also thou shalt do. Thou shalt do towards your neighbor. I spent a few days last month all the way down in Greenville, South Carolina. And the reason I went is because one of my best friends from seminary's father passed away down there, and I drove down to go to the funeral. And it was my best friend's funeral, and he actually, about a year ago, came up and did something for me that was unbelievable. He did a service for me up here in Erie. He dropped everything and he came up here. And I remember when I saw him for the first time, he said, "Mark, you didn't have to come down here." And I said, "Yes, I did. I love you. And love behaves in this way, just as you did for me about a year ago. And you behaved in that way." And that's supernatural, right? That's not naturally in me. Because when I was driving down there, some of the thoughts were, "Well, I'm going to be way behind this week. And this is going to cost me some gas money." Yeah, there's my flesh, right? It's right there. It's right there. But those who are believers and who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they behave in such a way, their love manifests in those ways. And you can do that. You can do that because love does no harm to a neighbor. Love is fulfilled in that way. Because we work out of the Spirit now, don't we? What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love? Right. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Yeah, that's right. You got the song going? Yeah, I have the same thing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. As it seems I'm on a plumbing kick in this sermon, I'm going to keep going. When I was plumbing, there was always one thing we were looking for, and it was a sticker, actually. Every aspect of the job, from underground to rough end to finish, you were always looking for a sticker. There were two types of stickers. There was a green sticker, and there was a red sticker. The boss did not like red stickers. He only liked green stickers. A green sticker meant that you passed the plumbing inspection, which also meant you knew the plumbing codes, right? You knew the codes well enough to pass the test, and therefore you got a green sticker. If you got a red sticker, you really heard about it. Nobody likes a red sticker. The truth of the matter is, if we apply that to how we love, I get a red sticker, right? I know it. I know it. I should be walking around with a red sticker right here. And so should you. So should you. And yet, here's the beauty of the gospel. When you come to Christ in faith alone, He takes your red sticker and you get His green one. All of the law codes have been fulfilled in Christ. You now have His red sticker and you now have His green sticker and He takes your red sticker. What a beautiful thing that is when you think about it, because He has in fact fulfilled the law on your behalf. It's more than just passed, isn't it? It's not just He passed for you, He fulfilled it for you, He did it all for you, and He takes your failure. He takes your failure. And that's just the glory of the gospel. Boiled down to a simple plumber's terms, He takes your red sticker, you get His green sticker. Because He has fulfilled the law on your behalf. In fact, that's what Paul says here a couple times, doesn't he? Love fulfills the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And in fact, when you come to Christ, in fact, the law has then thus been fulfilled. Those who have faith in Christ, now God the Father looks on you because of Jesus Christ. He says, you fulfilled it. You've done it. Well done. Well done. Well done. And now, because we know we are the green stickers, we go forth now seeking to love our neighbors. Seeking to love our neighbors. And the only reason is because Christ has fulfilled it on your behalf. Christ has fulfilled the law. Now therefore, go forth and live in such a way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law on our behalf. And now because of the great mercies that you have showered down upon us, namely forgiveness of sins and transforming our minds, please help us to go forth each and every day fulfilling the law of love and loving our neighbors as ourselves, knowing that we've been bought with such a high price. We thank you for Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.